Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Tim Pisa-Fakude is a political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue. He joins us this morning. We wanted to understand what is going on with the United Nations. Good morning. Thanks for doing so. How are you?
Good morning.
So it's obviously a very, very difficult situation given the fact that Russia's on the Security Council and has the ability to veto anything. What happens now? Does that mean effectively that the United Nations is powerless?
Well, it is not only on the Security Council this time around, but it is also chairing the presidency of the Security Council, because as you know, it's a rotational position that's given to different countries. So it was the chair of the Security Council, plus it sits as a permanent member of the Security Council. So the next step now is to take the resolution to the UN General Assembly. But UN General Assembly, the resolutions from there are not binding. So it's mainly a solidarity exercise, because you are likely to have the majority of the UN General Assembly members supporting the resolution. So that will be the next step. But there's absolutely nothing else the world can do at the moment from a multilateral perspective that can stop Russia from doing what it's doing. We hope that the suggested meeting today in Belarus, notwithstanding that Belarus is part and parcel of this problem, will begin to start a process of de-escalation and Russia withdrawing from Ukraine.
So, yeah, does this effectively mean that the United Nations almost becomes redundant?
Well, it is redundant, but there's also a need for United Nations. Notwithstanding its ineffectiveness in many instances, but you still do need a place where foes and friends can meet to talk about issues of the world, and United Nations then becomes important. Yes, this vetoing and the veto rights that the P5 members have continues to pose a problem. South Africa was one of those countries that have been calling for the expansion of the UN Security Council, and they're calling for the change of that regime, particularly at the UN Security Council, in terms of the P5 countries having the veto rights. But there is a role to be played by the United Nations, because notwithstanding, at least you still have countries meeting and talking about various issues around the world. The other thing is the agencies of the United Nations are very important.
Those
as well.
Are important, absolutely, absolutely. It's just a very, very almost frustrating thing, and I see it a bit. I kind of feel that South Africa is playing the United Nations roles. You know, we must diplomacy and meeting, you know, no real condemnation. But in the meantime, there are real people suffering real losses. They're losing their lives, they're losing their homes, they are losing their freedom, while we talk about all of these things at an arm's distance. In fact, just before you came on, I've been having a conversation with a friend of mine in Ukraine, and I asked him for permission to read one of his one of his updates, and he says they're in Lviv at the moment, and he says we finally got the family to sleep. This is the first time he's got to a place of safety. They can't get out, unfortunately. Everybody here can't stop crying. The shock is setting in a big way. We're just praying that this is going to end soon. They've literally lost their entire lives, and they're lucky because he can afford a car and they've driven to the border. They can't get out, but at least they're in a place of relative safety. And when you hear the human suffering and the tragedy, and this is a person who's still fortunate, it's just amazing that we can't seem to muster up more than these arm's length academic conversations.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, South Africa's foreign affairs and foreign policy is at the moment in dire straits. We definitely need to overhaul the entire department, because their positions are really embarrassing, continually embarrassing. And there's this elongated hangover and the insistence of associating ourselves with our the former supporter for struggle, which was the which USSR or Russia, federal country of Russia. So it continues to pose serious problems. And I've seen the statements that was issued by Derko on Friday, which was totally, very weak compared to other smaller countries in Africa. We issued quite strong statements. I mean, if you saw the ambassador of Kenya, the United Nations, the statement that he made was a very, very strong statement. But we're still tiptoeing. And the reason why we're doing so, of course, is because we have relationships with both Russia and China, and we still have insist on sitting in that that coalition of gangsters called BRICS. And until we get out of that BRICS, because if you look at all the people that are there, they're tainted people who do not really believe in democracy and who don't believe in basic human rights, whether it's Prime Minister Modi of India, Bolsonaro of Brazil, Putin and Xi Jinping, and we continue associating ourselves with those individuals. And that's why we find ourselves having this kind of position when it comes to matters of international relations.
They often use the excuse, or the reason is often used that, well, those countries helped us during the apartheid era, fighting to end the apartheid system. How long, and I've asked a number of guests this question, is that a real thing, or is that just an excuse? And if so, how long does somebody have immunity for, because back in the 1970s, 60s or 80s, they tried and they did assist South Africa to move forward. Does that mean that they can treat their people or whomever around the world as they choose, because back in the 20th century they helped us?
No, but if you look at the South African statements, not only now, they're very, I don't know how to put it, but they don't take positions because they're simply not capacitated enough and have enough experience, people at Derko who can really make informed decisions and continue to advise the minister on what positions to take. So they'll take a general PR safe statement, and if they don't take a position, they'll piggyback on what the African Union will be saying. So they never really put their heads out there to say, this is a position we're taking. I mean, here's the man, Putin, who decides to violate international laws because he feels that the Russian-speaking people in Ukraine are somehow oppressed by their own government, and as a result, he's going to go in and do what he wants. I mean, if that is our position, we should have then gone to Zimbabwe a long time ago and Swaziland, because those countries are doing the same. And so we don't find anything wrong with Vladimir Putin doing what he's doing in Ukraine, Georgia, and Belarus, but we have a problem of continually applying this quiet diplomacy in Zimbabwe and in Botswana. So it's a very confused foreign policy that, for some of us who spend time studying these things, quite embarrassing, because it becomes very difficult to defend and rationalize why Naledi Pandor and his team will always, in fact, by the way, if you really think about it, they always contradict themselves. Cyril Ramaphosa will come with a different position and Naledi Pandor will come with a different position. Which has always been the case these days. You can see that they're not communicating. But the positions that we're taking, notwithstanding that we have a little bit of muscle and we still maintain a little bit of respect in Africa, particularly on matters of injustices and all of that because of our past, I think we should change ourselves and we continue embarrassing ourselves at these multilateral platforms.
Yeah, I see Kenya came out very strongly with a statement in support of Ukraine and condemning Russia. So we're seeing other African nations coming out in support. The African, the ANC Youth League coming out very strongly in support of Russia. So it does get, as you say, it's very embarrassing. And I just, and the contradictory messages don't help at all. Tembisa Fakuda, political analyst at Africa Asia Dialogue, talking to us as he always does, updating on the Russia situation in terms of the United Nations and international diplomacy.